Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. It's nice to be back together again. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. I got a little sun today. I was up taking my grandsons for their first fishing expedition, and I watched Mom, dear Mom, put sunscreen on them. You'd think I would have learned from that, right? So, just 2 hours. One side of my face got burned and the other one didn't, so I guess I need to turn the other cheek, huh? Well, hallelujah. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. We've been speaking about the days of Sodom, and last time we spoke on this, we were speaking about giving birth to sons of God, and we want to go just a little further on this, and it's just such an important topic. I mean, it's our day. It's scripture that's being fulfilled in our day, and I don't want anyone to fall short of catching the revealed word for this hour as it's unfolding before us. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Once again, the things that they were doing in that day, there's nothing wrong with what they were doing. It's just, that's all they were doing. They were living like it was any other day. And a message was going forth telling them that God was going to destroy those that didn't repent and didn't get into the ark of safety that he was preparing. And they didn't heed that. Instead, they just lived like they did any other day until the flood came. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, talk about a close call, huh? The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, showing that it'll be different parts of the world, right? Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And of course, we know the body is speaking of the word. Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So wherever the body is, wherever the word is, the eagles will be gathered together. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Father, as we approach your word once again, Lord, in this midweek service, we ask, Lord, that you'd once again open the eyes of our understanding, that you'd reveal your word to us, Lord, as you desire to, as you've predestinated for this particular time, for this hour, for this body of believers. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you from the pulpit to the back door, and we just invite you to walk the aisles once again here this evening, Lord, and to move in and out of the recesses of our hearts, Lord, as we open all the doors and all the windows. And we're inviting your word to search us tonight, Lord. It's not something we're afraid of or nervous of, because it's a good thing. It's your word searches the thoughts and intents of the heart. And, And Lord, if there's something there that needs adjusting, we want it adjusted. If there's an area that the light hasn't struck yet, we desire for the light to strike it. And Lord, if there's anything we need to repent of, we'll zealously do that. We just ask that you'd have the preeminence amongst us, Lord, and just have your way, Lord, in the remainder of this service. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I'd like to read from, we've been reading from this in a few services as we've spoke on this subject, and I'd like to refer to it one more time from the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, I don't know how much longer I'll be with you. Remember, this is the truth of thus saith the Lord. It's the truth. It's the scripture. I don't know about you, but my ears always perk up. When, you know, I always want to be listening. I always want to get out of whatever's being said when I'm supposed to get out of. But when I hear, this is thus saith the Lord, well, you got my attention. Like the seven mysteries of the seven last seals, the mysteries of them, the seals had done been broke. And every age had come down, and there they had left a lot of scattering. So he's talking about how through each church age they had probed at the word and they'd pulled at it this way and that way, and they had partial truth. And they went as far as they could go with that. But it left a lot of loose ends. It left a lot of, like I said, partial truths that needed to be fully revealed. And so he said that when the seals were broke, that those mysteries were made known. They had been broke. Every age had come down. There had left a lot of scattering, and God not willing that it should be scattered, he comes back and picks up those things. Those doctrines, they started and brought it on out and revealed the whole thing. Same thing he's doing now in revealing the mystery of Christ. How he was God's threefold purpose for the church. Oh my, letting him out, reveal, he says. Reveal, Webster says, is to make known. To make known, especially, Webster says, in divine truth. That revelation means. The revelation, it is Christ's way of making himself known to his church. So the revealing of the Son of Man, it's Christ making himself known to the church. It's his way of making himself known to the church. So there is no other way, right? When Christ takes you over, he'll express that word right through you because it's him. So that word you're taking in, and then he quickens it, he manifests it, he reveals it, he interprets it by manifesting it in your life. When Christ takes you over. So we have to surrender to this, right? When Christ takes you over, he'll express that word right through you because it's him. He is the word, see? And then you can see the expression of Christ. Not some illusion of some sort, but a genuine Christ expressing himself right through you. How beautiful, he says. But when the great ransom bride through all the ages comes up, then that's going to be a great throne there. Revelation 7 expresses it. Great number, which no man could number, through all the ages has come up. Them that's walked in the light of the Bible as far as it was revealed to them. And now we know that Wesley had more light than Luther did. We know that Pentecost outshined Wesley. See, certainly it does. Because it's just gradually let loose, as it did down through the prophets and so forth, till it was perfectly made known, the Godhead bodily in Christ. He says, and now the Christ in the church is just beginning to be made known. The whole thing is the revelation of God to take Eve back to her right position again with her husband. Notice, and God is the husband of the church, and the church is his bride. Look, Christ makes Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God was trying to do. What is the new birth then? You'd say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Don't seek after a sensation. Don't seek after tongues. Don't seek after seeing colors or whatever. It's Christ becoming real to you. It's his word becoming real to you personally. You'd say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation, the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ personally to you. Then you're in a walk with him, and it doesn't matter if anybody else makes it or not. You're going to be there. You're in a personal walk with him. You're not in a church walk. You're not in a pastor walk. You're not in an organization walk. You're in a walk with Christ. And he will keep you. You say, well, Brother Brandon, what is the new birth? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church. Not you shook a hand. Not you done something different. You said a creed or you promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, somebody say anybody.
Amen.
No matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. And then he goes down showing you, no matter what anyone says, he says, pastor, priest, whatever it might be. Now, he's not denigrating pastors. He's not denigrating the ministry. But he's saying, if the ministry comes and says something different, you stay with Christ. No matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. And if a man says he's born again, and he tries to place these promises of Christ in these last days to some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, well then that man or that person is in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall, somebody say shall, not maybe, not it's possible, these signs shall, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, there's no wiggle room, these signs shall follow them. Now who's the them? Them that believe. Into all the world, into every age, casting out devils, speaking with tongues, all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow, they shall. Not they may be or they ought to, they will. And heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. So it's Christ expressing himself in the... Oh, I love that. Now we're getting down to something here, right? The individual, right? The whole church can fall away, but the individual. I don't believe the whole church will fall away, but even if it did, the individual, it's you and him. It's Christ expressing himself in the individual, whether he's an intellectual, in other words, whether he's educated, whether he's smart, whether he knows a lot, or whether he doesn't know his ABCs. So it doesn't matter. Christ in you, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with your flesh. Come on, church. Half the apostles didn't know it, see? But they knowed Christ. They never taken heed to Peter and John, knowing that they had been out of some seminary. They said they taken heed and noticed that they had been with Christ. When they healed the lame man, see, at the gate, they knowed that they had been with Christ. He says the new birth is Christ. The new birth is Christ. Is the revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God is expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. That sounds like a little worry. It sounds like desperation, right? Oh, if the church only knew its position. Next sentence, it will one day. You can be assured of that. It will one day. Then the rapture will go. What are we waiting for? Oh, we're waiting for the harvest moons, and we're waiting for tabernacles and blood moons and this, and we're waiting for a woman president or what? No, that's not what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the body of Christ to come to the realization of who she is. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. So as we've looked at, friends, Jesus told us that the world would come under the very same conditions that existed in the days of Sodom, and that the Son of Man would be revealed again at that time. And we certainly see all of the elements of Sodom being played out once again right before us. The world is in a Sodomite condition, and we're seeing just, you know, all the filth and all the things that were taking place in the days of Sodom. We're seeing that being played out here in the end time. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But we've been told beforehand that the Word would be made flesh once again before the destruction of Sodom in our day. So Sodom is not just one city in this age, but it's that spirit is it's worldwide. It's permeated every nation, right? So we're told that the fullness of the Word would be made flesh in a many-membered body, which is called His bride. And the living Word in that body makes Christ the head of that body. And then the sons and daughters of God that make up the portion of His bride in these last days, they are the mystical bride body that He is working through. He gives the orders, and the body carries it out. And we're told that the last age would be characterized as a time when the attainment of material things of this world would be the focus of many. That it would be the for some, that would be their entire focus. But the focus of the true bride in this age is not on these temporary things. Now, there's things that are needful for us as we travel on. Things are not necessarily good or bad, but they aren't our goal, right? And not being able, let's say that you couldn't obtain some of those things, right, that you're desiring. Well, you're not going to go jump out of a window because you couldn't obtain those things, because that's not what you're living for. That's not what your goal is. And friends, I know that the devil gets a lot of mileage on us as far as this goes, but how much of the world's material goods that you have, that is absolutely zero measure of your spirituality. Zero. So we've looked at what the meaning of Son of Man is, and we found that Son of Man is Christ. It's always Christ. It's Christ the Word revealing Himself in human flesh. Son of God is Christ. Son of God, God's a spirit, so it's Christ manifesting in spirit form and anointing as He's done throughout the ages. But in this particular sense, it's Him revealing His Word, but He's revealing His Word through human flesh. That's paragraph 269 in the Anointed Ones at the End Time, in case you want to look it up. So our focus in this hour has been on the revealing of the Son of Man, because that is what Jesus told us would take place when the world was again in a Sodomite condition. The Son of Man would be revealed once again, we're told, and it's God taking on dust as He did with the Abraham group in type to reveal the Son of Man, to reveal the person of God, to reveal the Word through human flesh. So we saw that in the way that the Son of Man is revealed, is when the Son of Man takes on human flesh. It's when the Word takes on human flesh and the Word manifests itself and the Word reveals itself. As Jesus, when he was on the scene, he revealed himself to his disciples. He revealed himself to the world. He was the Word made flesh. And he said, look, if you don't believe the words that I'm speaking, look at the works. Because they are they that testify of me. Right? It testifies that that is the Word being made manifest. That is the Word being revealed. So the type of this was given, of course, in the days of Sodom, and the fulfillment of the type was given when the Logos, the Word, took on dust and became the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, took on human flesh. He was Christ, the living Word, revealed to us through human flesh. Now, I want to just take a little segue here for just a moment, because I don't want anybody to get lost, but it's amazing how little the denominations even know about what a prophet is, right? But did you know, and it's kind of curious, the lack of this teaching even in our own ranks sometimes. Did you know that the word that comes to a prophet is in vision form? God shows the prophet a vision, right? And those visions never fail. And you don't judge that prophet, right? And it comes in vision form, always, right? You hear them telling, you hear, you know, this last prophet, this church age messenger, you hear him telling stories about characters in the Bible. Well, he's not just, well, maybe it was like this or maybe it was like that. He sees it just as the one that wrote it saw it, right? Because the word came to the prophet in a vision, right? Jesus said, I do nothing except what the Father first shows me, right? So he would get a vision about something and then he would go do it. So the word comes to, so that makes a prophet different than all of us. Because a prophet's not sitting around saying, well, maybe it means this. Or maybe it means that. Or I think this, or I think that. What nails it down is when God reveals it. So that is how God reveals his word. And he always reveals it first to his servants, the prophets. Right? And then the prophet, now that it's come forth, those under the prophet's message will then take it to the people. Right? And then the people eat it, and then the very same spirit that revealed it to the prophet, reveals it to the ministry, reveals it to you. Now it's equally yours as it was the prophet's, as it was the ministry. Right? It's revealed to you. It's not guesswork, but it's you know that you know that you know. So we're told that the Son of Man would be revealed once again. And as we said, the type was given in the days of Sodom, and in the fulfillment of the type was given when Christ took on dust, became our Messiah, the Anointed One of God. And then the Word was revealed by being lived out in human flesh. You could see the works, and that testified of the Word, right? And we know that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. They were all speaking of him in part in this prophet, in part in that prophet, in part in this character, in part in that character. But he was the fulfillment of all of it. So when he lived in flesh among us, he encapsulated all that had been spoken about him throughout the Old Testament, and all that had been lived out previously in types concerning him, because God wrote the word many times in human lives that were then recorded in the word. He fulfilled all of the bride and the groom types of the Old Testament. He fulfilled the law. God didn't do away with the law. The law was fulfilled. And he was the fulfillment of it. So I'm taking my time intentionally, and some of this is ground that we've been over a few times now, but I don't mind going over it until everybody gets it. And I want to make sure everybody gets it. And you got to hear it more than once to get it. And you might get it at one level, one time, and another level, another time. If you're like me, something will break on you and the word's being preached, and you'll think about that, and you'll miss maybe what's being preached next because you're still, wow. You're still, right? So it's got to come again. So one of the points that I want to make right now is that the Son of Man is not the human flesh. The body, the man, that's not the Son of Man. But the body is what the Son of Man is revealing himself through. Right? It is Christ the Word in his fullness manifesting through a body. But the body is not deity. Oh, I know that's going to stumble somebody. Is your body deity? Aren't you like him? Well, his body didn't do the works. The Word did. And it's so important that we catch that distinction. The Word is so important. So it comes to the prophet in vision, it becomes Word. And then the Word must be manifest, right? Must be revealed. So the manner in which he is made known or revealed to us is through human flesh. The entire new race, you know, he's the first of many brethren, right? The entire new race was actually in him and will come forth from him because they are the Word just as he is the Word. They are a portion of the Word. He's the fullness of the Word. So if he's the fullness of the Word and you're part of the Word, then you had to be in him. Otherwise, he was lacking a part of the Word, which is you. This is part of what's being of the revealing of the Son of Man in this last age. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we'll hit it again and again and again. We have to recognize who we are, right? And only the Word will show us who we are. And the Word will show you you're a part of the Word. So we know that the last sign that was given to the Gentiles before the body change and the rapture will be the fullness of the Word manifested through flesh. And the reason why we know that was the Word was manifested through flesh. The difference was when God stepped into a body of flesh, it was a body like a man, but it wasn't a man with a soul, right? Because he had to, and it wasn't the only begotten of the Father. He hadn't come yet, right? That body hadn't come yet. He hadn't paid the price for sin, so God isn't going to inhabit sinful flesh, right? He's not going to step into sinful flesh. So he created a body for himself, stepped in it, and that was a type of what he was going to do later on, where it was going to be human flesh. Right? That was without original sin, of course. So, I got a bug crawling on my screen here. Maybe it'll get something out of it, right? So he revealed himself through human flesh, and he said to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" Right? So he's, and why did Sarah laugh? In the tent behind me. So, he's showing that it is the Word, it is Christ the Word, it is the Messiah manifesting in human flesh because the Word is the only thing that can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I'm so glad of that because there was half my life being raised in the denominations, I didn't know whether Satan knew my thoughts or not. You know, I knew he could introduce thoughts to me and get me to entertain thoughts and have conversations with me about those thoughts, but I didn't know whether he knew my thoughts or not. Well, he's not the Word, so he does not know my thoughts, right? Amen. Only the Word can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. So it could only be the Word that was revealing, you know, why did Sarah laugh? And here's what she's thinking. Here's what's in her heart, right? Showing a shadow of what would take place when Christ was here on the earth. Time and time and time again, he discerned the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then that's to be repeated again in our day if it's the same one, which it is. So the fullness of the Word would be embodied or tabernacled in a body of flesh, having the preeminence in that flesh. That's what's promised for this last day, right? And the Son of Man began this revealing by first revealing himself through one member of his bride body, because the Word always comes to a prophet first. Amos 3:7, behold, the Lord will do nothing except he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. So he revealed himself through one member of his bride body, and that's why we know that it's the truth, because it had to be a prophet, and he revealed it through a prophet, and otherwise, we'd have questions tonight, wouldn't we? But it's one that God chose to reveal it through, and he fully vindicated it, and we saw the sign of the Messiah that was the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? Once again, that was not the prophet. That was the Son of Man manifesting himself through a prophet. So it started there. But that was not the full revelation of himself yet. You see, there's more that he wanted to unveil of himself by revealing himself through the rest of his body that is now prophesying again. She has a part in his unveiling because he's unveiling himself in her and through her. Right? And he's not saying something different through the rest of the body, but he's saying again what's already been spoken, right? Prophesy again, as we read in Revelation chapter 10. So he manifested who he is when he gave the Messiah sign through a Son of Man, but that was not the conclusion of him revealing himself to his people. And he has a purpose in this revealing. It's not to entertain. It's not to dazzle. There's a purpose. It must take place for his plan to be fulfilled. And the purpose is so that the final voice, the voice of God himself, to the final age, can be declared through his bride body that's here on the earth. And this is the last sign that's given to this age. The Word is now present in flesh, not just in prophetic form alone, but is living out and manifesting itself in flesh. Now, I know I'm saying a lot, but we've been through this several times now. Don't let this promised revealing of Christ pass you by, because it is passing the world by. So it doesn't matter how you might have once thought that it was to be fulfilled. That doesn't matter. And we don't care if we were wrong and all of a sudden we're being shown what's right. We don't care. Right? Is anybody's pride more important than their soul? Of course not. You just want the truth. So we know that from the message that I was quoting from, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, we know that what the threefold purpose is that was purposed in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we are now living in the fulfillment of the third fold of his threefold purpose. And that is Christ living in his bride body, having the preeminence in that body, and revealing himself once again before Adam and Eve return back together in Eden, which will be Christ and his bride. That will fulfill that Adam and Eve type, right? And the millennium will be a type of Eden once again, right? 1,000-year reign. So
This bride is the fulfillment of all the prophecies concerning her. And I'm getting close to where I really want to bear down here the rest of the evening. There are prophecies concerning the bridegroom, right? Jesus Christ. But there are also prophecies concerning his bride. And those prophecies must be fulfilled, have to be fulfilled. Those prophecies were vision, which will never fail, which is word, which will never fail, and must be manifested, right? And you have nothing to do with making that word do what it was supposed to do. The part that you have is recognizing who you are. You come to that recognition. And then you surrender. You realize, wait a minute, that portion of the word, that's speaking to me. That's the word that has been predestinated to be. I was in that vision. And that word is talking about me. It's not just anybody. It's me. And that word must be fulfilled in my life. That's why I'm here. I was put here. My destiny was set. I was foreordained to be here, so that word could take on flesh and be lived out. And that word can't fail. I'll make mistakes, but it isn't me that's overcoming. It's that word. Just as it was in Jesus Christ. So we are now living in the fulfillment of this threefold purpose. And the bride is the fulfillment of all the prophecies concerning her that are in the scriptures. And she encapsulates all the word that's been spoken throughout the ages of a bride. She's the fulfillment of it. All of that has been foreshadowing her in this last age. And you had nothing to do with that. It was all written before you got here. And your part was determined before you got here. And God wasn't nervous that you would be born and wouldn't know a thing about it. It would be born in the wrong family with the wrong education or the wrong this or the wrong that. Right? God knew that word would find you. God knew that you would eat that word. God knew that word would be fulfilled in your life. So we've got people on every hand, especially in this last age, this last hour, that are looking for the coming of the Messiah. They're looking to a God of the past, or they're looking to a God of the future coming, and they're missing the very works that are proving that he's here right now. They're missing the word that's being fulfilled right now, because they're missing the works that are being done. And the works speak of the word. They are they that testify of me, he says. The very manifestation of his presence among us at this very moment. So now is the time for each of us as individual members of the body of Christ to recognize who we are, what our position is, what we've been put here on the earth to do. And the only place you'll find that, the prophet spoke of you. They saw you in the vision. The word was written. That's where you're going to find yourself, is in that word. It's speaking of you. And this is not a group think process. This is what makes it so different from everything else. It's not all of us getting, a bunch of theologians getting together. Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? Oh, that's a good one. All right. Anybody else? This is not the Nicene Council, where we're trying to figure out whether he's one, two, or three gods. They messed that up. They came forth with two extremes that were both wrong. That he's completely three, that he's completely one. And that they were both wrong. There's truth in both, but they were both wrong. But that's what happens when men get together and try and figure something out. That's why God had to send one man with one message. So it's not a group think process. So your purpose in this life, it's not linked to a group. It's not linked to a denomination. It's not linked to an organization. as the bridegroom had to come to the full understanding of who he was and what his purpose was, so is it with the bride, which is his many-membered body in this hour. So each one of us, as part of that body, has to recognize who and what we are, what we're here for. And then you're agreeing to the word that you know is pertaining to you. Not just, oh, okay, let thy word be fulfilled, whatever it might be. No, you got to know what it is. You know, if you're supposed to go to a cross, you've got to, you know, say, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, because I can see that that's what I'm supposed to fulfill. Right? You need to know specifically, and the word declares it. Hallelujah. And her identification is declared in the word. And the mystery concerning her identity is not revealed to the seminary. It's not revealed to the council. It's revealed to you. It's revealed to each member of the body that make up the bride in this hour. So every one of us has to come to that realization. Christ has to be revealed to each and every one of us. And he is the Word. We need to recognize that as the Son of Man was made manifest and dwelt among us 2,000 years ago, he did nothing by the flesh. Oh, I hope you get this tonight. He did nothing by the flesh. You couldn't put a finger on his flesh. He was without sin. But what he did was not by the flesh. And so is it again today. In other words, it was the Word that did the works. It was the Word that did the works. Otherwise, I'd need a body like his if it was the body that was doing it, right? And I don't have a body like his. Too late for that. It was the Word that was made flesh. It was the Word that did the works. And he himself said, if you don't believe me for the word that I speak, believe me for the works, for they are they that testify of me. So the works identified that it was the Word in him that was being manifested. So if the Word is to be made flesh again in this hour, the Word will do the works, bringing the flesh subject to the Word. I hope have I lost you? It's okay if I have and you want to just raise your hand and say, yeah, hold on, I'm confused. It's the Word. It all comes back to the Word. You find yourself in the Word. The Word is manifested in you through you. You eat the Word. You prophesy again. You're saying the same thing, right? It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. The power's in the Word. The life's in the Word. You'll see this a little more clearly here in just a moment. It's the Word that does the works, not the flesh. If all of us could get that revelation, that would stop all of this. I can't believe what she did. And somebody needs to go tell so-and-so such and such. And look at that dress. You know, it's a centimeter too short. And, you know, it's not dragging the carpet like mine. What you're saying is you're doing the works. And you're trusting in your works to be the fulfillment of his word. Your flesh cannot fulfill his word. The word will fulfill the word. In your flesh. It'll bring your flesh subject to the word. If it's you, you'll get proud. If it's you, you'll get beat down. If it's you, you'll go this way or that way. If it's the word, we're all in agreement. It's him. It's Christ in you. So if Christ, the word, is made flesh again, not in one body, yes, one body, but this body today is a many-membered body. Well, then it will be the Word doing the works today, just as it was the Word doing the works in that day, bringing the flesh subject to the Word. We get so hung up on terminology, and then by it, we miss the fulfillment. It's the same person of the Word taking on flesh in this hour, and it's the same Word doing the works. It's the bride coming of the Word, if you will, but it's the very same person of the Word veiled in that flesh. It's not a different Word. It's the same person. It's the same Christ of all the ages manifesting himself in human flesh. But it's no longer a partial word that's being revealed. As we've been through, the church ages and the wheat plant that was bringing forth the word seed to bring that word seed to birth once again, it wasn't a seed throughout the ages. You had a plant with life that was bringing that life back to a seed again. But now we have the seed. So this is not a reformation. It's not a reform. It's not a new and improved model. It's not a fix up of the old thing that's taking place in this hour. It's a creation and it's a restoration. And it's no longer the Spirit of God anointing us only on our flesh or our spirit realm externally. But it's the very person of the Word tabernacling in us and speaking through us. There's not a single individual in this hour, in this age, that can say, I am the Son of Man being revealed. But the entire body collectively is being used to reveal the Son of Man in this hour. A portion through this one, a portion through that one, a portion through this one, but it's Him. Think about it this way, friends. You know, it's not until this age that we can even, that He reveals to us once again. He says, in that day you'll know I'm in the Father, I'm in you, and you in me, right? And Brother Bram said, that day is this day. It's not until this day that we even understand what that means, right? Well, how can I be in Him and Him be in me? That's really what we're trying to drive at here. That's really what He wants to reveal to us, right? If you are a portion of His Word that's being made manifest in this hour, that's to be lived out, right? And you are, there's a bride and there's a bridegroom, right? And those two are one. She's Word of His Word. She's part of Him. Well, if He's the Logos, you were part of the Logos, right? Because there's only one Word. And if He's the fullness of it and you're a part of it, well, you had to be in Him. And that part of it, which is the real you, is what He's manifesting in this hour, right? What He's living. So you find, you realize, I'm in Him. How do you know you're in Him? You're in His Word. You find yourself, I'm part of that Word. The Word's been speaking about me. I've been foreran by Ruth. Ruth lived out a shadow of who I am. Right? In other scriptures. The Word, you find yourself in the Word. So you know that you are in Him. You're in the Word. You're in the Logos. But you came out of Him to be manifested here in the flesh. Right? Now, she was in Him. And there was a part of Him that was not revealed 2,000 years ago, and that was her. But she was in Him. And now she came out of Him. And now that part of Him that wasn't revealed yet is being revealed. The bride, just as Eve was in Adam, she was taken out of the side of Adam. And now she was the revelation of Adam. She was the mystery of Adam revealed. That's how you become Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Because there's a portion of Him that hasn't been revealed yet that was in Him, and it's you. Right? Now, what's different this time was she was in Him, but she wasn't revealed yet. He spoke of her. spoke all about her, who she was, how she would be manifested throughout the ages, where she would come to in the end, what she means to him, so on and so forth. But now, she is that mystery of him being revealed, but now he is in you. That's the Word, the Son of Man. Christ the Word. That's what you're feeding on. So, a part of his Word was already in you when you came to this earth. It had to be quickened. But a part of his Word was already in you. A part of his Word wasn't in you, and you're eating it. You're eating the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. You're eating that open book, which is the Word that's been opened, and it's him. And you're taking it into yourself, and now he's in you. So 2,000 years ago, there was a part of him that wasn't revealed yet that was in him, and he and her were in him. But in this hour, both parts are being revealed. In a many-membered body. He's in you. And you are in him because you find yourself in that Word. And you find that you were in him before you came here. Right? You were in that Logos. The little licks of fire that came off of... They spun off of the great pillar of fire. There's only one pillar of fire. And then there's licks that came off of it. He was in that Logos and was conscious of it and was quickened. You weren't. Right? The thought had not been manifested. You can't say, well, you know, take me back to where I was with you before the foundation of the world. And right? And the glory that I had with you. You didn't have any glory with him. You hadn't been manifested yet. Right? The thought concerning you bypassed that theophany and became flesh. Okay, have I said too much? This is important. If I have to preach this 20 more times or 100, it's simple. We make it complicated. If it isn't simple, then we don't have the revelation. Because when God reveals his Word, it clears up the mystery. It doesn't create a new one or make it more mysterious than it was before. So, I don't have the fullness of him in me, right? But the entire body does. If you take the entire bride body, because he's the head of that body. And he's controlling that body. So he's directing me to do something, and he's directing you to do something, and he's directing you to do something, and he's directing somebody halfway around the world to do something. And he's not telling me what he's telling you to do, and he's not telling me what he's telling the person halfway around the globe, but he's in control of that entire body. That's why it's not a public show. Right? The mind of Christ is in the body. The Word is in the body, and he knows what part you're going to play. So none of us can say, I have the fullness of the Word in me, because none of us are called to be the full revealing of the Son of Man, but the body of Christ is. So she was in his Word, and was also in his flesh 2,000 years ago, just as Eve was once in Adam's flesh. And today, she's the Word that was in him, now being manifested in flesh. And he's the Word that was manifested in the bridegroom, now being manifested in the bride. That's how he can sup with you and you with him. So if we are born of the Spirit of God, then individually, each one of us has a portion of God living in us. And none of us has the fullness of Christ living in us as individuals. Brother Branham, likewise, had a portion of God living in him because he was a part of the bride, just as you and I are. But since he was a son of man, the Son of Man could reveal himself in his fullness of his word when he surrendered to us. Right? When he surrendered to Christ, the fullness of Christ could be manifested through that one vessel. But he still wasn't the Son of Man. He was just loaning him his body, right? He told us about an ocean of water that contains water and it contains salt and it contains all these other elements. And he told us that if we took a teaspoon and we went out to that ocean of water and dipped that teaspoon into that ocean of water, the teaspoon would contain a measure of what's in that ocean of water. So whatever's in that ocean of water is in that teaspoon, just not in its fullness. Right? So if there's healing in Christ, and Christ is in you, there's healing in you. If there's deliverance in Christ, and Christ is in you, then there's deliverance in you. And so on and so forth, right? If there's joy, if there's peace, we just go on and on and on. Has to be. Right? So think about that for a moment. All of God is in a body in this hour. Oh, that's something that'll keep you up nights. That's something that if you just really meditate on that, God is completely... I mean, I would forgive you if you're just like me and have had thoughts a good part of my life. Why couldn't I have been there when the fullness of God was in a body? Look at what I got left out of. I didn't get left out of anything. That very same fullness is in a body tonight. On the earth. Has to be. Or this body will never take a rapture. That's part of the threefold purpose of Christ. So each one of us is a part of that body, manifesting a portion of the word. And he has foreordained what would be manifested through each and every member of that body, and nothing can stop it from being manifested. Not even you. You can't stop it. So it's one mind that's in a many-membered body that's directing that body by the word. And that's why Revelation means more to the true believer than anything. That's why the word shall say amen to every word. So we saw that the covenant angel in Revelation chapter 10, Christ himself, came down in Revelation 10, and as we looked at a few services ago, he had feet that were on the earth, and the feet were as pillars of fire, plural. So the same Holy Ghost that was in the head of the body is the same one that's in the feet of the body in this hour. The pillar of fire that the Logos of God is what you are a part of. And it's where the deity part of you came from. That's where your portion of the Holy Ghost came from. That pillar of fire. There's only one source of it, right? So you need to recognize that you're not a weak person. The same God that lived in the flesh of the Messiah 2,000 years ago is now living in you in portion. And you yielding to him allows him to be manifested through you. Remember, we saw that the revealing of the Son of Man through one member of the body, and he said the whole secret to this is me yielding. Yeah. Well, if it's going to be revealed through a many-member body, the same thing has to be said about us. That revealing can only take place as we yield. You have the, well, I'm getting a little bit of,
I'm gonna come back over this and do a whole nother service on this because it's so important.
You have the very same faith of God down on the inside of you right now. You are charged with a measure of the same Holy Ghost right now. And the measure that you believe this word is the measure that you're going to walk in it. So don't wait for a group to step forward saying we are the church. And that happens to us all the time. We see that over and over and over. Because we are told by the Son of Man himself that this would be an individual revelation and an individual placing. And you have a divine purpose in being here. And you've been put here so that the works of God can be performed through you in your generation. And you are called to be God's hands. He has no hands but yours. You are called to be his feet. He has no feet but yours. You are called to be his eyes. He has no eyes but yours. Yes, even mouthpiece. Prophesying again means speaking forth. You are called to be the flesh that God works through, that he has sanctified with his own blood. And you say, but Brother Doug, my flesh isn't deity. God can't use my good-for-nothing flesh. Listen, neither was his flesh deity. God can't be tempted. Oh, I know I stumbled you right there. We just want to make him so divine. If he wasn't a man, then he was tempted in all ways. God wasn't tempted. His flesh was not deity. His body was laying here in the earth when he formed this earth, just as your body was. And it was made of the same elements of the earth as yours is. But deity dwells in this flesh, and deity makes this flesh obey the word of God, bringing it into obedience, giving it overcoming power. Friends, that's why Brother Branham says you have a punch coming, right? In other words, there's a channel there. There's an avenue where the enemy can come and attack your flesh because it's not deity. He says you got a punch coming, but keep it covered up with the word. It just proves the word is the word. You will never overcome by your flesh. Is everybody convinced of that tonight? That'll just knock all the legalism out. Right? Boy, is it still quiet. I'm going to preach that as hard as I can. You will never overcome by the flesh. It will not be your fleshly ability. It will not be your fleshly strength. It will not be mind over matter. It will not even be your fleshly sincerity. You will be sincere, but that's not how you're going to overcome. You overcome by the word giving power in this flesh. You overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. How could flesh overcome flesh? It would be man ruling over man once again. No, it's the word ruling over the flesh. Do you see that tonight? I've had some excellent questions that continue to come forth, and I'm so glad that the questions do come forth. Because I hear, well, I'm kind of confused because, you know, the word's going to live out through you. It'll be Christ in you, but I make mistakes. And how does that work out? You've got to divide the flesh from the word. The flesh is still the flesh. When you gave your heart to the Lord, when you were born again of the Spirit of God, you didn't get up from the altar as a eunuch, brothers. Bless God, I'll never look at a woman ever again. Nobody could ever tempt me. God just took that right out of me. No, he didn't. That's what makes the overcoming so wonderful. Is that in spite of that, you're overcoming. Amen. Hallelujah. We must become that quickened word. We cannot prophesy from an exterior letter word. It's not printed word that's overcoming. It's not magnetic tape that's overcoming. That revealed word has to be eaten. You have to take it within you. It must become a part of you. Then the word is then living in you and becomes a part of you. And then that word must be spoken again through you. And it wasn't you when you ate it, so it isn't you when you speak it. It's still him. So every member of the body must become an outlet for the Holy Ghost for the word that you have eaten. And we're not all going to prophesy the same thing. We are going to, and it won't even be oral in so much. It'll be lived out. It'll be the word speaking through your life because God's manifesting that word in your life. You still with me? We have too many church members that are just inlets only, right? Just taking in, but that can't be. You are called to be the vehicle that God uses to express himself through upon the earth. Listen, we looked at how there were two messenger angels from God that visited Lot and his group and the Sodomites. We haven't been visited by messenger angels from God. We have not been given a second-handed message. We have heard and are hearing directly from God, lip to ear. If you can receive that. If he's revealing himself to you personally, you're hearing directly from him. But you're not hearing something that hasn't already been revealed. It had to first be revealed through the servant, the prophet, right? But now it's revealed to you. Again, end times sign seed. I'm going to pull over here in just a moment. End times sign seed. He says, you say, well, Jesus healed the sick. He is the word. He is the word. When you receive the word, you receive Jesus. For he is the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We believe that, don't we? Every bit. We believe that Christ is God's word made manifest. And we believe that his bride must be the same thing. See, I didn't make any of this up. I just broke it all down for you so that now I can read it to you. Now you realize what I just said to you is what he meant by what he said here. We believe that Christ is God's word made manifest, and we believe that his bride must be the very same thing, must be the same thing. We believe that she must believe every bit of the word and have that word in her. Now, how does she get it in her? She eats it. Because she's a part of the body. She is the body where he is the head. And when he died and rose from the dead and resurrected and set on high by the majesty of God on his throne, right hand of majesty, we are his delegates. And we reckon ourselves dead and buried by baptism, raised with him, and now seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That'd get us all shouting, wouldn't it? Think of that. We are. I know this just went over so many people's heads when he said it. Wasn't the right time, but there would come a right time. We are, not we will be. We are now. Now are we sons of God. Now are we daughters of God. Not we will be seated, now we are seated. But you got to recognize that. You're not physically, fleshly seated together in heavenly places. But if you are in that word, and that word is in you. Message, perfect faith. He said Jesus had perfect faith. He had it. And it come because he was the word. And you become the word. You become the word as you receive the word. Now, a portion of you is already the word. But then you're receiving word. If you abide in me and my words in you. My words, he says, my words abide in you. Then ask what you will and it'll be done. See, If you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you said. When you pray, believe that you'll receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. It'll be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know that it's done. It's already over with. He says, now watch. Now, and he said, if you abide in me and my word in you, St. John here, you can ask what you will, it'll be done. Then recognize your position in the scripture as a believer. See, you've got to recognize your position as he recognized his position. He says, now remember, they had the word. So he's speaking about his disciples. Think about this for a moment. This is rich. It's good. They had the word. Christ, the word, was right there with them. The word was made flesh then. And the word told them, I give you power. Amen. I give you power. And they had power. But they didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. So what's missing is the revealing. Revelation is faith. What's missing is the revealing of the Son of Man. You can have the Son of Man with you, but the Son of Man must be revealed. He was the Word. He had faith. Excuse me. They had the power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the Word that was in them. See what I mean? But Jesus had it, he says. He was the Word, and he had faith that what he said would happen. And he said, oh, bring him here. How long will I suffer you? He had faith with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. You listening? He relied on what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. And he had faith in God who made him the Word. He was God, the Word, and they was in him. And that give him faith because he understood his position. He knowed what he was because the scripture said what he was. Said he was this. And here every scripture tied in to prove that he was exactly what the scripture said that he would be. And he knew what he was. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. That's a powerful thought. He relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely on what God made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are, a believer. Now think about it. Christ was with them, the Word. They weren't quickened yet. They hadn't been born again. Christ hadn't died for him yet. The Spirit hadn't come back. But they had the Word living with them. They even had enjoyed power that was given to them. But what they lacked was the faith, right? But now, what if that very same Word that was made flesh, that had the faith, is now in you? That's the revealing part. If he's in you, now the faith is in you too. They had the Word, but the Word was with them, but not in them yet. And because of this, they didn't have the faith to put that Word into action. They had not the faith to operate the power that was in the Word that would make the Word live, that would make the Word manifest. They had an element of faith, but they didn't have the faith of God. So he gave to them power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the power. They came to a place, as an example, where they met a boy who was having an epileptic seizure, and they couldn't cast that spirit of epilepsy out of him. And Jesus said, this kind comes out with prayer and fasting, or consecrated lives. So notice, at that time, Christ was with them in physical form. But he is greater to us now than he was to them there. So all my desiring of walking with him 2,000 years ago is actually an error. I have more than they have. He walked with them, but Peter still ended up cursing him and denying him, and there was no unity among the disciples as long as he was an external word made flesh. Yet Peter could see God. Peter could hear his voice. He could see him standing nearby. But it's not enough to have him nearby and even hear his voice coming from nearby. I'm not looking for Brother Branham to stand nearby me so that Christ can come and speak to me. Christ must be in you, the hope of glory. You see the difference? So many talk about a squeeze, and I believe that there will be a squeeze, but so many talk about a squeeze and about, you know, a body coming together in unity, a body that is disunified and different ones speaking of it, they don't even want to get together. But they're saying the squeeze will, God will make us, he'll force us to get together. Not if you don't want to be, right? His body is not disunified. There aren't any cliques in his body. We're not waiting for that to get corrected. Right? If Christ is in you, there is no division. So you see, this church, before they had the Holy Ghost, they didn't have the faith to do the works that they were commissioned to do. They had the power, but not the faith to operate it completely. Jesus had faith in the power that was within him, and Jesus knew that that source of his power did not originate from his dust. So why are we looking at our dust? And why do we think, if I could just improve on this dust? You know, if my dust was just made a little different, if my dust didn't have this problem, if I wasn't raised this way, if I didn't have this chemical this or medical that, or if I didn't have high blood sugar or whatever, what does your dust have to do with it? Why do we look at our dust? Why do preachers point us to our dust? The power doesn't originate from your dust. The overcoming power does not come from your dust. The overcoming ability comes from the word that you've eaten that then makes your dust obey the word, brings your body into subjection. So if you eat that word and then your flesh doesn't obey the word, it's simply because you don't have deity inside of you. It will make, it's a process. We don't overcome everything the first day, right? But it's one step after another. That word will have the preeminence. Friends, if this isn't true, let's all just quit because we're following a nursery story or some fable. This, you must believe this. Amen. The word will. Satan will not win. Right. Satan will not keep this bride on the earth saying, well, I've got somewhat against thee. Right? The accuser of the brethren will be cast down. He'll have nothing else to accuse you of. Amen. You say, well, I don't have the power to cast Satan out. I don't have the power to live an overcoming life. No, that's not the problem at all. When you say that, you're saying that Christ is still an external Christ and not an internal Christ. Because if he's in you, you are an overcomer. Because Christ is the overcomer. Jesus said, I can do nothing in myself. Jesus said, I can do nothing in myself. Let me say it one more time. Jesus said, I can do nothing in myself. Oh, he's just being humble. Now you're making him a liar. Jesus said, I can do nothing in myself. It's not the flesh. Brother Branham said he relied in knowing that he was the Word, and he had faith in God who made him the Word. He was God, the Word. They was in him, and that gave him faith because he understood his position. Same thing's true for us. Amen. The pattern was laid out for the groom coming of the Son of Man. He never once relied on his flesh or let his natural senses or the church define his purpose. But he had faith in what the Word said that he was. And he surrendered to that Word, which is God's will for your life. Amen. And the power in that Word made that Word manifest in works. Amen. And the works then testified that he was the Word made flesh. Now this will make this statement that Brother Brent, that Jesus said, it'll make it so much more clear when you run it through this understanding. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater than these, because I go to my Father. Right? We know that it's not greater works in the sense that you're going to do something greater than what he did, but it's more. Right? Because he's now doing it in a many member body. But it's the Word that was in him that did the works. So you eat this. Why do you think we emphasize, you know, don't leave that message on a shelf? You need to be in it every day. Yes, feeding on it. Why do we emphasize coming to church? Right? Because you got to feed on that Word. If you don't feed on it, how is it ever going to be manifested? It has to be revealed to you. How is it revealed to you? You're feeding on it. As our messenger said, you're feeding on the unfailing body Word of the Son of Man. Let's stand. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Brother Baker, where do I start? Well, I've told so many of you this already, one-on-one. Start by going in, go to the book of John, St. John. In every place that Jesus is speaking to the believer, every place that Jesus is speaking to his church, every place where Jesus said, I say unto you, put your name in there. And read that until you realize he's talking to you. Amen. You know what? I want to kick that demon of self-pity right in the pants tonight. You sit through a service like this and, they're picking on me. I'm picking on that devil that's picking on you. Because he's got you blinded. He's lying to you. He doesn't want you to realize that you're part of him. That you came from him. You're going back to him. And you'll be on the kicking committee when the devil's done. The devil had a beginning. The devil will have an end. But if you came from him, you have no beginning, you have no end. You're a part of him. Not, and no part of his word will return to him void. But it'll fulfill what it was sent to do. So if you are a portion of that word, you will fulfill. That word will be fulfilled in your life. As you learn to say, be it unto me, according to that portion of word. It's not just a blanket, be it unto me according to your word. Yeah, what is his word concerning you? That's what you're agreeing to. Right? Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we meditate on these things, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've shown us, all that you are showing us. And Lord, I know that the devil fights revelation more than anything. In fact, we're told that there's two books of the Bible that the devil hates more than any. The first one is the gene book. Shows how the enemy got in there and how he injected himself into the affairs of man, how he injected himself and actually caused a plan of redemption to have to unfold. And then there's another book that shows the ending of him, how everything wraps up, how he's defeated, how he's cast down, how he's ultimately thrown in the lake of fire. And it shows that your word is supreme, that you are the great and mighty overcomer, and that you have millions upon millions of those that you've died for, that you've redeemed, that will sit with you in your throne throughout the ages, will judge the angels, that includes Lucifer himself, that Satan and his angels, when their use is fulfilled, will be tossed into the lake of fire, and yet Christ and his bride will live throughout eternity. Satan hates that. The last thing he wants us to recognize is that we're a part of God's great plan, that God is actually greater than Lucifer. He wants to convince us that this flesh somehow is going to make the difference, whether we make it or not. That's where the emphasis on human will and human choices comes in, and human works. But Lord, if we were chosen in you, that was your choosing, chosen in you before the foundation of the world, and you told us what we were chosen in you for, what the purpose was. And Lord, if that's your word and if that's true, then you would be obligated to reveal that to us, to make that real, to show us what our purpose is, why we're here. This message that's been sent to us that so many fuss over, that so many go this way over and that way over, and tangle over. Lord, we realize that this message is the word that is to be revealed, that is to be lived out, that is to be manifested in this hour. So this message is a people, because the people are where that word is going to be lived out and manifested. They're the ones that will be alive and remain at your coming, will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Or if they go the way of the grave, they'll raise up and they'll be changed and gathered together to meet you in the air. Lord, it is my fervent prayer as a pastor and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is my fervent prayer, Lord, that this would become a reality to each and every one. We know that that's your desire, Lord. Father, may the faith rise, may the desire rise within each and every one to understand, to know where we are in your word, to know what is to be fulfilled, knowing that our confidence then is only in your word. But we can have confidence, we can have faith in your word. As your prophet said about Jesus, he had faith in the word that you made him. He had faith in what you declared that he was and that he would be. It's no different for us tonight, Lord. If we can believe what you've already said about us, what you has already been seen in a vision, it's already been wrote in a word, and it's waiting to take on flesh, be manifested in flesh, a portion of it already in flesh, quickened by the new birth. Lord, may our eyes come open. May that Malachi 4 eye salve be applied to our eyes so that we can see what was, what is, and what is to come, where we came from, what we're doing here, where we're going, what your purpose is, what our part is in your purpose. And Lord, if we can see that in the Word, what confidence that we'll have, because we have total confidence in your Word. You've proved it. It's one of the reasons why your Word is actually over-vindicated in this hour. It's more proven. You proved your word more in this age, in this hour, than any other age. But you did that partly so that it would just remove any doubt. Your word is true. And everything that you declared in the New Testament, you've proven it again in this hour, proving that it's you, that you are the Word. In every way, in every shape, in every form. So we can have total confidence in that. And then if we realize that if we'll feed upon that word, it's not a dead letter now, but it's been revealed already. If we could just recognize just what that means, the importance of that, the fact that it's been revealed already, that if we feed upon it, it'll live in us. The power's in that word, and it'll do what you sent it to do. if we just surrender to it. So our confidence then is in that word. And we can have total confidence in your word. We don't have any confidence in our flesh. And we're thankful, Lord, that you didn't place it upon our flesh. We know that this flesh has to be changed. So clearly, if the flesh was the factor in it, then why does this flesh have to be changed? But it isn't that, it's the Word. It always comes back to the Word. But may we see that, Lord. May each and every one of us, if that desire hasn't been stirred up in us, may that desire be stirred up in us. For us to just talk to you like we would talk to a loved one. If we just say to you, Lord, I want to see myself in your Word. I want to know who I am in you. And as we've said, Lord, I believe fervently if we just take the start with the Gospels, read from those Gospels and recognize that you're not just speaking to anybody, but we're part of who you're speaking to. Oh, it'll have a tremendous effect on our lives. We're not on the outside looking in, but you're on the inside living out. What a tremendous thing that this is, Lord. So, Father, as we continue to look into these things, because this is what is to be fulfilled in our day. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no question about it. This is what's unfolding in our day. So as we look at these things, our desire, Lord, with both our hands in the air, our desire is, Lord, that you just make it real to us. And as only you can. And here a little and there a little. Just one day at a time, one step at a time. But we feed on that word and we become what we feed on. Grant it here tonight, Lord. Each and every one, as I commit myself and everyone into your hands, our confidence is in you and you alone. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come.